You want to save on the most popular PodNuts products? Go to our new page at podnuts.com/deals. And while you're there, get on the PodNuts hot list, where you're going to be sent exclusive weekly deals. You're going to get the latest PodNuts news, so you're in the loop.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to PodNuts Daily, episode number 340, the show where we talk tech, talk about our computer repair shops mostly, and get bounce some ideas off of one another, get some new insights into different ways of doing things sometimes, and just kind of help each other out. Tonight, we've got a special guest, Corey Knapp from New York. You want to say hi, Corey?
How's it going, everybody?
So, Corey, what brings you to PodNuts Daily tonight?
Well, I want to discuss being a blind computer repair tech and the tools that I use and how it is for me to fix and repair computers.
A blind computer tech. That sounds like that'd be very difficult. So basically you can fix a computer with, like, we would not even have to turn our monitors on and you can fix a computer like that. I don't think I could even try to do that. And I'm intrigued on how you do that.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there are some things I need sighted assistance with, but probably 80% of it I diagnose myself. I don't know where you want to start here, but I'll lead, or do you want me to lead in on that? Or
yeah, go ahead. When you take a call where somebody's got a problem, how do you tackle that, Corey?
All right, somebody calls up and says, you know, my computer's running slow, or you know, I'm getting all these pop-ups, or my printer's not working or something. So one thing I can't really do remote support due to the fact that the screeners I use require video chaining into the operating system. So if somebody were to, there are ways that I can do it if it was another blind person that had it and they had the same streaming program that I used, I could do some remote support. But since most people don't have these $1,000 plus screeners, that's not going to happen. So what I did was I'll tell them, you know, that I'll pick up your computer, or I go over to the house and take a look at it. And I have a portable USB stick with a portable screen reading program called NVDA that runs off a stick, which is, it's a pretty good screen reader, and I can at least do some diagnostics. I can get into safe mode. I have a registry edit that lets sound work on USB device. So I bring a USB headset that works with sound, so I can get in there and run some scans with, you know, the usual Super Anti-Spyware, Malwarebytes, you know, the normal gamut of removal tools. And if that doesn't work, then I'll tell them, you know, I'll take it back because I charge $70 an hour on site, and I'll charge usually a flat rate of about $150 if I can take it back to my shop here or house or, you know, whatever.
Nice. And you said you're in New York. Are you in a big city there in New York?
No, I'm actually in a small town, about 2 hours north of New York City, Orange County, New York. So,
the screen reader, I just got a question. What does that look like? Like, okay, basically the big one you use, like, for your own home PC, what's that look like? And then also you said you got a USB one that, explain kind of how those may work for us.
Okay. Picture it. All right. Yeah. So when I hit keys on the keyboard, it echoes keys back to me in speech. If I hit like the Windows key, it says search, edit. So then you could type like in Windows 7, you could type in the search box. And if you shift tab, you have the all programs, and you can hit space and you go down arrow through it. It tells me visually what's on the screen. The difference between the portable screen reader NVDA and the other ones I have, which is JAWS, which stands for Job Backers with Speech, and WindowEyes, the difference is the JAWS and WindowEyes have video hooking technology, which would allow you to run like remote. I can run like remote desktop, and I can do some VNC and things like that that you can't do with the portable version because it's running off a USB stick and there are no drivers that you have to install. But that's good when you go to some computers too, that are some business computers and other things that are protected with, you know, various non-administrative accounts and things like that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I suppose. So you get your screen reader going, and basically you do some scans and stuff. How do your customers know that you're blind before they call some, or do you, how do you present that to your customers? Or
Most of them do. Okay. 'Cause most of them are friends. My sister's a teacher. My mom was a teacher. So a lot of them are, we get a lot of customers from them. So they're friends of their friends. Most of them do know, but I do tell them, you know, I say right off the bat, I'm not, you know, shy about saying that I am blind. I said, you know, and some people say, oh, well, how can you fix my computer? And I said, you know, like tell them kind of, what I just told you a little bit, a little, you know, simpler terms. I said, you know, and my girlfriend with me, she decided so she can, you know, if there's something really weird going on, like if I can't even get into Windows or if, you know, I have, you know, boot CDs and everything else like you guys have, but I can't use some of those. Some of my, I did adapt a WinPE disk with some speech. I did that actually about 2 weeks ago. That was pretty fun to get into. And I have a Linux disk that does talk, so I can use some tools if I have to get into it. It's called Vinix.
Oh, that's neat. Where did you learn the computer repair? Did you just learn it on your own, or did you go to school? And did you get help with your blindness at school, or did you learn it on your own mostly?
Well, I did go to school for it. I have a 4-year IT degree, but that's not, to tell you the truth, I didn't learn much at college at all. I mean, I had computers. I was kind of ahead of the, I'm not to brag, but I guess because I'm so into it, I was like ahead of everybody kind of in doing things. The college was just to get the degree, but I learned way before that. I started probably when I was 13 or 14, just taking apart computers, figuring out how, you know, like back when the old ISA things were out and stuff like that, messing around with that kind of stuff. And then I moved on to, of course, the newer, you know, technologies. I have about 10 computers in my house here myself that I've built everything. My girlfriend and I built ourselves. So I do. I'm talking to me on an i7 now with 16 gigs of RAM and SSD, you know, an Arch SSD. And so, yeah, it's like started doing that, started repairing things, messing up in the beginning like everyone probably did. And then now we're pretty good at it. We can build a computer from start to finish using it. But if everything goes right, you know, knock on wood, 2 hours usually, get a computer running.
Corey, you said you build computers, and you've got a few there. Do you sell computers that you build a lot, or are you mostly doing viruses and such like that?
Yeah, I do sell computers if customers want. You know, I do that. It's not the most, doesn't make the most profit, really. I make more profit, I think, in backing up data. But I do sell, if somebody wants a computer, I mean, I'll tell them I can build them one or they can buy one. But I will offer that to customers. Some customers like that. They're like, some people I know like to say, because they know me, like, oh, cool, you're my computer, blah, blah, blah. So I do, you know, probably a couple of those, maybe 3 or 4 a month. It's not, you know, hundreds here, but yeah, a couple a month. People do like that. And some people still want desktops. Some people still, I'm getting a lot of desktops. I'm getting a lot of Vista computers coming in lately, which is funny because I haven't ran Vista in, you know, a couple of years now. So it's like, oh, Vista again. Got to get the Vista OEM disks. And, you know, it's kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, that stuff comes in like that. It seems like I was working on XP for a long time. And yeah, like you say, it is starting to roll over into Vista, which, you know, everybody who owns Vista probably wants some service just to get it faster, you know, a lot of times.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
I remember, like, when you said when you were in college, the ISA, learning all that and how it really doesn't do anything for us now, you know, as far as what we do day to day, learning the ISA and the D-something channels. I don't even remember what they're called now.
Yeah, like SD and all that, and yeah, all that old RAM and the.
What do you like when you build? Do you like AMD, Pentiums, i7s?
I like the i7 just because I do a lot of like audio. I'm big into music, listen to music and stuff, so I do a lot of audio encoding and stuff. For customers, you know, I look around, shop Newegg and, you know, podcast.com/Newegg and podcast.com/Amazon, go to all those and check out what's available. But I'm not really partial to anyone. I mean, for the customer, I look for the best deal at the time. I mean, I personally, I don't know. I mean, I could get your AMD people, but I think they're pretty on par with each other, really. I mean, I stick with usually the Intel myself, but I have a couple AMD machines and they run fine too. So,
yeah, they're both work good. Any other services that you do other than like viruses repairs? Is any other specialties you like to do?
I'll do like cleanups. I'll do reinstalls. That's an interesting thing too. If you want to know, I have automated silent installs like Windows 7, XP, Vista. I made the installs all unattended, so I could just pull throw the DVD in and let it rip, you know, throw it in. Wow. And let it go through. I got all the screens. I used the Windows XP was a different format than Vista and 7. They were pretty similar. The Windows 7 and Windows Vista use an XML-based answer file. They call it unattend.xml. It's an answer file. And I made that so I can silently take it, throw in a DVD in the system as long as it boots. You know, I know the Dell F12, you down arrow twice to get the boot to CD, and some of them are different. Or if not, I'll have my girlfriend go into the BIOS quick and set the CD as the first boot option. And off and rolling. And I do Mac stuff too, actually. I have a Mac Mini, but that has speech, so I can totally do some Mac stuff. I can reformat a Mac easy enough. That's actually really nice because the Lion Mac disks talk right out of there. You hit a F5 when you boot the, Lion DVD, or have it on USB stick too. When you boot that up, that actually talks through the whole install if you want. So that's pretty cool.
Wow, that's neat. I never knew that. That's cool. Is your girlfriend a geek too then? Or does she just help you?
No, she's into it. She likes building her cases. She likes the window cases and the gaming type, two multiple video cards and the, NVIDIA Sly, 580s, I think was what she has. She's into playing games and she's into it. So it's great. I mean, it's great to help when I need it. I mean, great to have somebody that, or do something stupid. Like forget to hook up the power, four-pin power connector. Why isn't this thing turning on? You forget one stupid hook, put a power supply in, forgot to hook that up. It's like, why is this turn? Oh, yeah, I forgot to hook that up, like things like that.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool, man. That's really neat that she's into gaming and building gaming rigs. That's helpful.
It definitely is. Definitely. I'm trying to think what else today I did an XP reinstall. This computer was like, it was like a Dell Dimension 8400 or something. It was old, man. This thing was, I turned it on. I timed it. I have a stopwatch talking timer thing here. And it took 12 minutes and 6 seconds to get to the desktop. I called them up. I said, what do you need off this computer? They're like, just my pictures and my documents. I'm like, cool. So I took the drive out. It was an old IV drive. I have a machine here though. I have the front, have one of the front popped out and have an ID. It's an old board. It still has ID on it. So I have the front, popped open and one of the, face plates. So I can just, kind of let the drive sit there. I do have an ID to USB, but I figured, ID is probably fast. So I just threw it on, copied it onto my NAS. Cause that's one thing I always do too, is even with the customers, it takes longer, but I do back up the machine even in the bad state, because I had one time where a person, didn't want to pay. I did all the work. You see, they didn't want to pay for the repair. Mm-hmm. So I just re-imaged their machine back to the way it was. They had called me. Oh, I'm not going to pay. I don't think I should have to pay, because we had, agreed on a price. And then I said, your computer's done. They go, well, I'm not paying you now because I don't feel like it. I said, okay, we can fix that. So I just put the machine back to the way it was.
That's awesome, Corey. Yeah. I think about stuff like that. I've never actually done that, but yeah.
I mean, it takes a little bit longer to do, but I mean, if they're gonna mess around with me, well, I'm just gonna do the same thing. Here's your computer. Yep, here you go.
Yeah, yeah, good idea.
I mean,
So when you back it up to your NAS, do you use a program to do the image?
Yeah, I use Drive Snapshot. If you're familiar with that, it's portable, so it's nice, and it can do it even on Windows. While Windows is running, you can back the machine. Of course, it backs that state up. I like it because it's portable. I mean, I have it on my USB stick, so it's excellent. You don't have to install anything. Go up to any machine. I use that, and I use the portable SIW. I've heard that's been on a couple shows. That's a system reporting. It gives you the CPU, the motherboard. It's kind of like CPU-Z, but it's... It gives, I think, a lot more reports. It gives you Windows keys. It gives you Office keys. It gives you, that's $69 for this SIW. But, I like it because it's easier format for me to read when I'm done. It gives you a whole report, because I've had customers, too, that have had things stolen from their computers from different other computer repair shops. I was gone on vacation last year, and a guy had a nice ATI card what else did he have? Oh, he had a 2 terabyte hard drive. He brought it to a shop around here, and they took his hard drive, gave him a 500 gig, and I gave him an NVIDIA card, and he didn't know the difference, but I said, I knew something was different about it.
Is that one of the machines you built? Yep. Have you just worked on before? Or?
No, I just worked on that one. But I do a report every time I do a compute somebody's system. I generate a report with an SIW, which generates a nice little HTML report. Gives you, you know, the BIOS, the motherboard, you know, the brief hardware summary, you know, sound card, if it's you know, video card, you know, motherboard, blah, 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 CPU. It gives you just a. So I had that report, and I showed it to him because I knew. I said something's not right with it. I have a good memory with that kind of stuff. I said something because I was looking around the machine, and I said something's not right with this. So looked up my old report, and sure enough, yep, they had changed out parts on them.
Man, that's horrible. Wow, attaboy though, Corey. That gets you a customer for life right there.
Oh yeah, he was like, yep.
Did you ever follow up and listen, and did he tell you what happened when he went back and confronted him, or did he go back?
I don't know. I don't think he did. I mean, I gave him the report because I have it generated, and it says the date and everything right in the report. So I gave him the report, and I said, well, here, this is what you had in your computer on this date. It gives the computer name, gives everything, a serial number, you know, all that stuff. I said, but I don't think he ever did anything about it as far as I know.
That's cool. So then you got a file with all your customers, and then you keep that for them for whenever?
Yep. Yeah, I keep a folder with the customer's name, and then in there I keep two files. I keep one file, so I'd say it was like, you know, say it was like CoreyNAP repair. So I'll keep one file with, say, like CoreyNAP computer repair, and then the date. So if it was like, you know, 0119-2012.txt, that will have the repair, what I did to your computer. Like a note I'll say on the top, you know, fix, or, you know, reinstall Windows, or clean up spyware, you know, replace memory, or whatever whatever I did. Then I'll have, you know, the charge. And then another file, I'll have that report I was telling you about, the SIW report. It's dated like computer name, blah, blah, blah. But I rename that to the customer's name, .html, plus the date that I did the repair. So two files, and I keep those because they're small, the text files, and, you know, probably 100K, if that, in size. So yeah. I keep those around.
Man, Corey, that's a good idea. I never thought of doing that, honestly. That's a great idea. Now that Dell Dimension that you said you were working on, is that one of the old X-Wing ones where it opens up like a V?
Yep, opens up.
So what did you do after you it was a slow booter, you backed all the stuff up. What did you end up doing for that customer?
Well, actually, I backed all the stuff up. Then the hard drive Crystal Disk Info, and the drive was like it was on its way out. So I happened to have, it wasn't a new, that machine's IDE, still that machine. So I happened to have an IDE drive, and I called the customer and said, well, this isn't a new drive, but I'll sell it to you. It was an 80 gig. I said, I'll sell it to you for $20. You know, we're not going to tell them. And I said, yeah, sure. It's doing what they had. So I threw that in there and put XP in it. Then I put in, I think I had 256, and I had a 512 chip. I said, well, for another $30, I said, I'll throw in a 512 chip for you, get you up to 768 at least. Well, shared videos, I guess they're a little less, but whatever, get you a little better. So I threw XPS Service Pack 3 on there, and, you know, IE8, and got it all. Because I have Windows. My Windows, that's another thing, too. Every month, I get all the updates for Windows XP. There's a couple sites I go to, RyanVM.net. They have all the heat. Off that site, there's forums, and then they have a guy who does all the XP update packs. So every month or two, I make a Windows XP disk, a Windows 7, and now I don't even know, actually, my Windows Vista disk isn't too updated, but I have to start. Windows 7 is, but I make a disk so that when I do the updates, there's hardly any updates to get. So just kill two birds with one stone kind of thing.
Yeah, that's cool. Bumping up an old computer like that, especially going from 256, man, to 7, that's going to be a whole different machine then.
Oh yeah. And a clean install. And then I back up the machine too. I keep that backup because I have a couple of customers that are very good customers. Let's just say they get their computer messed up probably a couple times a month, and they keep coming back. So I just snapshot that image. I can blow it right over the hard drive. I can do it right over I can just throw that image over there, and I keep them, you know, I don't keep it for too long, but I mean, it's a couple of customers I know that keep coming back, man. It takes me 20 minutes or less, and their machines, you know, after I back up whatever new stuff they've added, obviously, but you know, once I do that, then we're good to go. And that took me 20 minutes. I charge, you know, my $150, and I'm good to go.
Yeah. So how do you determine what's been added since the last time you did that? Just go by date then of files, or ask them kind of?
Yeah, or like for if it's just by documents, what I'll do is I'll run something like I'll install like I have a portable version of Syncback. So what I can do is I can run it against my documents, do a sync, look at the source or look at the to see what's new, what's changed, and have it merge those changes.
Oh wow, that's cool, man, Corey. You're doing some really cool stuff that a lot of the stuff I really haven't thought of doing, honestly.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
that's cool.
Yeah,
I'm glad I could help that.
Give us some great ideas. I don't know about everybody. Maybe it's just me, though. It could be just the way I do things and everybody else is doing it the same way you do.
Yeah, I'm trying to...
Oh, go ahead.
No, I don't know. I don't even know what I was going to say. I'm rambling. What did you have to say?
No, I was just going to see what other kind of things that make your business different. Well, there's a lot of things that make it different than mine. You're definitely going above and beyond. You're doing some really cool stuff, but what other things do you think that you do that could help out some other people who are either starting out or working out of their house or even who own their shop downtown?
I think a lot of things is just, it's, I guess explain like just being nice. I guess everyone should be nice, but yeah, some people I guess have different, be polite to the customer, don't treat people like they don't know things. Like, when we clean the computer, when I get them, we clean the computers out, they think that's something. If they're too smoky, I don't bring them in my house. If they're too bad, man, I just leave them out on my, I have an enclosed porch. And I have power. If it's not too cold, I'll just sit out there with a keyboard and a pair of headphones, man. If it's too bad, I'm not putting it in my house. So I'll just sit out there and I have a portable, little USB wireless dongle. So if it's too bad, man, I'll just sit outside. I'm not bringing it in my house. So. Or, if it's super, so, but, sorry, what else? I'll do, I advise people ask me some things about, like, I had a customer today asking about a NAS device, what he should buy, and I like the QNAP NAS devices. I know they're a little pricey, but I like them, and so I recommended that to him. I think there was with the hard drive prices, that's the big killer right now. I mean, that's it's the NAS itself is like $900, so I told him, I said, well, you could build a free NAS machine, so I was going to do that myself at one time, but then I got the QNAP. A friend of mine actually gave me one. He was moving. I don't know why he couldn't take it. It's a small little box. Oh, I don't want to take this. I'm like, all right, sounds good to me. I'll take it. I just bought four. It takes laptop drives. It's only 2 TB, but it's good for backing up. It takes the small form factor laptop, 2.5 inch. So it takes 500 gig drives and a RAID 5. So I got 1.36 terabyte. That's good enough for backing up my customer stuff and doing general stuff, so it's good enough for that. And I have tons of hard drives and other things, but that's works good for me. I also, my USB stick, have that Keterin program, or Keterin, or I don't know if people say differently. I have that updated with like all the program stuff. So if I am at somebody's house and they have a slow internet connection, I can just pop in that stick and do the your Flash, your Java, your I like Microsoft Security Essentials. So I put that on there. It's free for Microsoft. It's too bad. So I give them that. And, your regular Gamma Adobe Reader, if they have that, all that stuff. So I can quickly just run all that stuff. But I do have that also included in my Windows. If I do a Windows install for somebody, I have all those programs auto-install automatically. So like your Adobe, your Flash. So when I'm done, when my Windows disk install is done, if they have no pictures or anything to back up, I can just call them up and say, hey, computer's done.
Wow. Yeah, that's nice. You've got all that stuff ready to go on the disk that you start the install with, huh?
Yep, it's all pre-installed. It's all pre-installed. I got all the silent switches and everything I used. RT7 Lite is what I use for Windows 7 and an Nlight for the XP with add-ins. There's tons of, on that Ryan VM, if you search that out if you search for that, or mfsn.org, they have a lot of the... switches, there's a couple of programs you can download too that will give you the switches for the installers. Like the MSI switches is usually Q/Q/B. So I put those switches in during, when you make the unattended, there's a spot that comes up. It says, do you want to add extra files to this disk to the install, the Windows install? You say, yeah, I want to add. And you just go, I make the files named, like if it's Windows 7 32, I'll say, JV32.x, make the file name. So, Flash 30, Flash IE, Flash FF for Firefox or something like that. And then that's how I name them. So they're named, according to the operating system.
Yeah. Well, how do you spell the rhyme f, uh, .org, the RyanVM.org?
I think it's R-Y-A-N-V-M, I think, but I think that's how it's spelled. But if you go to Google, type in RyanVM or any sort of, I think it will show up. That's mainly for XP stuff. Windows 7 stuff is at mfsn.org, MFSN, I think it is, or MFSN, or I think that's what it is. But that's, I'll try to get some, this is show 340, et cetera. I'll try to get some show notes to Steve within the next day, or I'll post them on the forums. I'll get some show notes together. I just got home, bringing that machine back, but I have a rough text file here, but I'll make it nice. I'll go into Dreamweaver and throw in some links and make it presentable.
Cool.
In the next couple of days. I'm trying to think what else I could tell you about my business. So let's see. I also do, it's not computer related totally, but I've been doing some CD ripping for customers of their own CDs. That's actually what I started doing a couple of years ago. So if somebody, say they have, 40, 50 CDs and they don't want to go onto iTunes and rebuy all that music. So I've been ripping CDs for them and putting the stuff on their iPods or their, or giving them a hard drive and say, here's your music, giving them a drive and saying, here's your music. That's been working out. I could charge $3 or $4 to do one album, and people, rather pay that than pay, $7, $8, whatever it is on iTunes or whatever. So that's been working out really well.
Wow. There's quite a market for that. I just assumed people would do that themselves. I didn't realize people didn't know that, how to do that and stuff.
Yeah, I think people just don't feel like, don't feel like doing it, I guess. I slap a disc in. I got a bunch of computers here with at least two or three, usually two DVD drives. So I'll slap a couple discs in and let them fly, man.
Well, that's a good idea. Yeah, I guess I would have to ask, maybe when I see people with a bunch of CDs or iPod, and ask them if they've done that. Maybe I'm just missing the boat there. I've never even thought about it. I don't have an iPod myself, so I don't think much of it. But I remember back in like Windows 98 or XP, man, we would all share each other's CDs. We'd just physically hand our book of CDs to one another, and it would all go in a media player at like 92 kilobytes. And now it's all kind of horrible, but.
Yeah, I remember that too. Here's my book out in college. I remember people, here's my CDs. And yep. I mean, you throw them all in MP3s. Now I rip everything into FLAC. That's a whole different thing. But yeah, so that's, but.
Yeah, that's where I messed up. I didn't go with MP3. Mine are like WM or whatever.
WMA or whatever.
WMA,
yeah. I've also done like some DVD stuff for some people. Like some people my girlfriend does tutorials. She helps people too. She'll do like, if somebody wants to learn how to use like, basic use of like, Microsoft Word or something. We do with some older people. We'll do like, basic training, and somebody say, hey, I got this computer, has this, I don't know how to use that. So we'll show them how to use Skype and how to get, webcam working for their grandkids or something, do that kind of I want to learn how to do this or do that. So we do offer those services too as well.
You do that on site with them, or you do make videos for it to teach them?
No, my girlfriend will do usually that on site. I can't help too many people because I use the keyboard for everything. I mean, yeah, I can tell you, control O, blah, 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 but a lot of people don't. I mean, to me, my site friends tell me I can zoom through something way quicker than they can with the mouse because I know all the keyboard commands for a lot of the programs I use every day. I know like, Control O was open in Explorer, or Control L in Firefox, so enter. I know, Alt-F4, close the program, Windows D to minimize, Windows key to minimize all programs, and Windows B brings you to the system tray. I know Windows T brings you to the taskbar, and Windows 7 where you can go across in the Internet Explorer and all the, so I know all those things. So, but yeah, my girlfriend usually does that part of the training.
Is it always been like one-on-one, or have you guys ever had like a thought about classes or anything like that where you get a group of people?
Yeah, we have. I just don't right now. I mean, I don't really like trying to get people coming to my house too much because, being that if I'm home alone, being that I am blind and stuff, if a group of people with my girlfriend would be fine, but I just, trying to low key of my location and stuff. So I don't have, if somebody falls, I mean, I have a business, legal business, but I don't have like all, I don't have all the insurance if somebody fell on my property or, but you know what I'm saying? Maybe I was thinking about the library though. They do say you can, some nights at our local library, you can rent, or they'll give you certain nights. So I was looking into that. But since I'm going to be moving in a year, I don't want to get people used to things and then just drop them, kind of. So I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm definitely moving within a year. So don't want to get people.
Well, it's always an idea when you move, too. You could look in the library when you're first in town. Because they'll actually, there's grants that libraries will apply for to pay a teacher to teach elderly people or whoever. And then you can just use their computers.
That's what I was figuring out, to bring my laptop, and so I have the speech, you know, for myself, and then that will be hooked that up to the projector or whatever. And that's definitely you know, feasible.
Yeah, I looked into that, and I'd still like to start it up. I just never have. There's a town right across the river from us that they just hired one of the teachers from a community college, and he's starting to start up some teaching of classes for computers. But there's a lot of people who want to learn, especially if you go like to Florida or something, where there's people with time on their hands, and that's great, you know, great for them to learn something while they're, you know, while they don't have a whole lot going on.
Oh yeah, no, it's not good. Yeah, different times of day or something. Yeah, it wouldn't matter to me at that time. Yeah, it wouldn't. Yeah, no, and it's great. I think it's great. I know a guy. He's 98 years old. He's just got his computer, and he's good. He's messing with all kinds. It's funny. He calls me. You know, he'll call me up. And I help him out. He calls me. Oh, I just did this this add-on crashed Firefox. Or, you know, this did this, and he's always messing with. I mean, I got him now though. I got him that program. What was it? System Freeze. I think it's what it is. It's a new. Geeksters.tv the other day. Time Freeze. That's what it is. Time Freeze.
Okay.
You familiar with that?
No, huh? I can kind of guess what it kind of does, though.
Yeah.
So basically, it's like a good restore point, kind of?
Well, it freezes the system, and it's actually in some ways maybe better than that, because what it does is it will freeze the system. So you right-click, it has a tray icon, you say freeze, you say runtime freeze, and then it will freeze the system at that point in time right then until you reboot. If you don't want it, then you don't save your changes. But I think it's better than system restore, because you don't have to tell them to go in this. They just, if they mess something up, you know, if the guy thinks he's going to do something, or you can just put that on, and then if he reboots, then, you know, it doesn't matter. So yeah. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. So I was like, it's kind of, so it's pretty cool. When I heard about that, I said, oh, yeah, because I mean, years ago, I ran that, Microsoft, I'm getting a brain freeze here, the Microsoft one, Steady State.
Oh, the one on X for Steady State.
Yeah, yeah. Steady on State XP. Ran that, yep, and then I ran that, and then I used to, of course, I still leave System Restore on for the customer, but a lot of people don't know what it is, or don't know, you know, how to use it, I guess. It's probably what it comes down to, more than not.
Right. Now, the guy you were just talking about, is this his first computer at that age, or has he had computers a lot
prior to that? He had one years ago. He had an old DOS computer. It was an old 386 something, because he wanted me to get some files off of it. And I had to search for I had to look around for a floppy drive, and I was digging in my, I have a bin full of stuff, and I happened to, because his floppy drive was broken. So I was like, oh, a floppy drive. I mean, I have USB floppies, but that's, right. That's not going to work. So I finally found one, and got some old documents and some old files that were, had to convert them too, because they weren't perfect files. They were docs, but they were all the formatting. So I fixed them up. I don't even remember I don't know how I fixed them. I don't remember that, but I got those. And then he hadn't been on the, he'd been on the internet at somebody's house a little bit. He had a Yahoo email. He knew some things, but yeah, he's cranking away, man, with Windows 7, and he's loving it. I think that's just excellent. He's cranking away, doing all kinds of messing with this, and everybody, oh, I heard on the news, and now he wants to get an iPhone and stuff. So that was pretty cool. 98 years old. Hey, man, go for it. You know, why not?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's cool. It's funny. I love working with older people on their computers. Except for when you get the Windows 95 computers that people really want fixed. And oh, man.
It's like, really? Yeah. Like, what do you have? It's like, I threw those discs away probably 10 years ago.
Yeah, and they love that word processor that's in there. They can't Anything else but that ain't going to work, you know?
Yeah, I know. I had a guy who wanted Lotus. It was Lotus Notes, but it was a certain version. It was a weird guy. He was a weird guy. He was attached to, I'm attached to this program. But it was the way he was like such a weird, like so weird about it. Like, I said, well, you know, I can get you. I said, I can get you like this program called Jart. That's like a free word processor. It's pretty good, actually. It's free. It has spell check because some of the free ones don't want to. Jart, J-R-T-E, I think it is. It's free. It kind of looks like WordPad, but it's free. So I said, I can get you this. You know, you can do your basic, you know, you can even insert table with it and do if you want to do. No, I got to have this Lotus program off his old computer. It was like a Windows 98 or, but he didn't have the installed disks. But luckily, I was able to just copy the folder over and create a shortcut on his desktop. So that worked out.
Isn't that amazing how that works? I mean, why doesn't everything work like that? I had the exact same thing happen. I can't even remember. It wasn't even Lotus that this guy wanted. It was something I had never heard of. But yeah, I pulled the whole folder over and it fires right up Windows 7. I think that one actually was his XP because I sold him a used XP machine because he hates his Windows 7 machine.
Oh.
So I'm like, well, this is a little bit closer to what you had. And then, but like you said, man, I just dragged that folder over and it worked and all his files worked and he was happy. Except for he doesn't like, I don't know, some Windows Mail or something with Outlook Express or Windows Mail or something was kind of messing with them.
I'm finding a lot of people drifting away from even people like every. I find people are drifting away. I mean, I know not in corporate stuff, but a lot of the home users are drifting away from the email clients. I mean, I still use Outlook 2010 for myself, but I find out a lot of people are drifting away from. They're all, hey, it makes it easier for on my end. I don't have to go look for the PS. The PSTs and the Outlook Express files and everything else.
Yeah, I've been trying to tell customers to go get a Gmail account ever since Gmail started. I'm like, oh, this will make it so much easier for you. And
I know the compacted the folders and I closed out. Then I database. You know, I got to find the WAB, the address book files and for Outlook Express. I mean, you can use FAB to do that, but I guess I've been using that too, so that works out pretty good for me for a lot of things. That works out good. It's a good program because it gets everything in one swoop, and if you want to do that, so even all their backgrounds. Because that's the great thing about that is you'll forget one. You're always, I make a list, I try it out, but sometimes I'll forget, like, they have one background picture that's, like, in the Windows folder somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I have the backup on the machine, so I can get it out, but you give it back to them. And me not being able to see, I'll just think, oh, yeah, it looks, all the icons are there, all right, then. Oh, my picture or my bird or something isn't there. I'm like, oh, man. And I can start looking around, figuring what was this thing called, and then with that, it works out pretty good. So.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, at least I notice, a lot of the stuff that was on their computer, they're almost like, well, what is all this stuff? You know, I don't even remember having or needing any of this. You know, a lot of people, I mean, their pictures especially, they do need, but a lot of people have stuff they forget is on there.
Oh, yeah, all the programs. People go, what is this program? That's the whole thing. I mean, somebody bought a brand new HP computer on brand new Black Friday, you know, a couple months ago. It was so much stuff. I mean, this computer had this wild tangent games. It had, you know, Roxio this and this. And so I said, can you just redo it? I said, I don't have anything on this computer. I want you to redo it. I'm like, oh, I love these jobs. I redo it, man. Blew the thing. I have an HP Windows 7 OEM, blew it away. And they go, I think this is like a brand new computer. They said, never ran this good the day I got it. I said, yeah, I know, because all the junk starting up. And yeah, I mean, it was like, so I give them CD burner XP. That still works on Windows 7 to burn your CDs. I give them, you know, the Microsoft, you know, like I said, Security Essentials. I'll give them for like photos. I'll either give them like Irfan View or the Google photo things or both. I don't know what works better because I'm not into that stuff, but I'll give them that and give them VLC media player, and if they use that, if they have an iPhone with their iTunes, and you know, there they go. You know,
I agree. I don't. Do you ever use like PC Decrapifier to do that too? If you don't have the install disk for that brand.
Well, actually, I have installed this for any brand. I have OEM. I have OEM disk, multiple OEMs. I found the for Windows 7 and Windows XP and Vista, I have multiple. I have 23 brand OEM. They have this slick, they're called slick certifications. I have the slick, there's like out there, there's you know, there's OEM disks. You just insert the certificates in there into this install. And if it's an OEM genuine, you know, say whatever computer, it will find them. But I can't use pieces of graphite. It doesn't work with any of my screen reader programs. I'd like to, but I emailed the developer. I said he could. I said if you change some dialogues around the standard Windows controls, I could use this program. I never received any anything back from him. So now I don't. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'd have to either just go. Galeri, though, has a multiple uninstall Galeri utilities. You can select like 10 or 15 things and just, you know, go get some, have a cup of coffee or go grab some tea or hot chocolate and come back and, you know, if you, you know, 20 minutes or something. So that works. That's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Galeri. I don't even think about Galeri utilities for that. Can you tell me more about the Slick certification? How does that work?
There's files. That you insert into the disks, like they're XML files that look for strings in the BIOS. So it looks for certain strings, and then you can, like, I have Acer, Lenovo. It's a bunch of different brands. It's a bunch of different ones. If it finds any of them, it will activate. If not, if it's a home built machine, it doesn't activate, and then you have to put a code in. You know, put your code in. But if it's, I found them on a couple websites. You know, one of those RyanVM or one of those arms. And you can download them because it's not pirates because it's not anything that's wrong. It's just that, you know, if it finds those disks, if it finds that those machines are being used, then it will put those code, then it will put those certificates in there. If it finds, if the BIOS strings match up, so, you know, if it knows it's a Dell or if it's a Lenovo, and if not, if it's a home built machine, it's going to activate.
You typically still have to enter the serial number for the Windows activation afterwards, or does it go vary from vendor to vendor after that point?
Usually no. Most of the times, sometimes actually XP has been kind of the one that's been weird with that. Sometimes you still have to enter the code. Windows 7 and Vista seem to fly right through it, so I don't know what the deal with that is, but XP sometimes you do have to enter it for some reason.
But well, I guess the RyanVM, man, that's some good information. If that's where that's where you go to build these disks, then
there's information. There's forms. I mean, you got to troll through sometimes. The MFSN.org too. That's where a lot of the stuff is too. It's on there too. There's a lot of information on there. And if you type in Google, believe it or not, if you type in like unattended Windows 7, Windows XP, Windows Vista, you'll get tons of results. And you're looking for like add-on packs, and you'll find people that create these things. I mean, I make some of my own, but I know the guys' names on the forums, and you try them out. A guy named Rogue Spear is pretty good. There's other people that are, you know, there's a site called nlight-addons.com, I think it is, where you can get all kinds of add-ons. And these people are trusted. You know, you just take a look. They're not really, you know, they have Flash, or if you don't feel like building them yourself, you can, these people, you know, they do them every day, and they're on the forums. So if I'm real quick and I could need a disk, I'll just search the forums out, and they put all the newest releases. I mean, there's guys on there that seems like that's all they do. It's pretty cool. So,
wow, that is cool, man. Great information, Corey. Thanks. Thanks a lot. I got a lot of work to do now. I got some studying and stuff to do.
I got some. I got to build up some nice web notes for everybody. But yeah, this is great. I mean, I love, you know, sharing my knowledge about computers because I'm passionate. I mean, that's the whole thing. I think that's where we differ than these, you know, say like Geek Squad or anything. Because I had a quick story for you. A lady called me up, a friend of my mom's, you know, probably in her late 50s, called me up. Said, "Oh, I had the Geek Squad here, and they charged me to hook up my new TV, my computer, and set up my wireless router and my printer. They charged me $950.
Oh, man.
I said, but they didn't even do it right. Her wireless network had WEP. It was all the printer. It was a wireless printer, but it wasn't printing on her Mac. They said they don't do Macs. They told her. I'm like, what? I was like, oh, man. So I redid everything. And I didn't charge her too much. I was pretty, cause I felt really bad. I was like, well, she's a friend of my mom. So I think she gave like $100. And it didn't take me long, but I just couldn't believe. And they had the cables like running like all crazy. Like I use these Velcro, they're like zip ties, but they're Velcro. I bring those to the customers, and, you know, I use those. They're pretty cheap. So I got a bunch of them. They Velcro together so you can get to the wires if you have to. So you're not using those ties and tying them together. So you have to cut them. So they're Velcro. Right. So
those are cool.
So I use those a lot just to tie up the wires. But this was crazy. I mean, they had the wires running all over the place. The TV, the HDMI. She had a, you know, her cable box. It wasn't coming on with the TV. You had to turn the TV on first. So my girlfriend fixed that for us. The cable box came on with the TV, right? And the aspect ratio was all messed up. And it was terrible. I just can't. I don't know. It's just so terrible that people can do. You know, I don't. It's just the lack of knowledge or what it is. Or they got to get to the next person, or I don't know. Just to me, when I see
that, that's a lot of it.
It's just, you know, it's crazy. It's like, you know, I know they're probably under constraints, but we love the tech. I mean, so I don't know. Some people might not be as, you know, I don't know. I guess I love the tech, so tech side of everything. So I try to keep my head in a little bit of everything tech related.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm a tech junkie. I'm always. Kind of too much sometimes. I need to focus on certain things more, but I just like to look at it all too. Thing you got to do, you got to tell your mom not to let her friends go to Geek Squad, man. Tell them to call you first next time.
That's what I told her. I told her, nah, I gave her a bunch of cards, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I get business from a lot of people like that, so it's pretty good as far as that goes, the people calling up and, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. So it works out for me as far as what I'm doing. So it's nice, and I can do work when I want kind of thing. So it's like, I don't mind working at night sometimes too, staying up late doing machines. It's not uncommon. I got a switch in my, I got a little office, well, pretty good sized office here. I got a 12 port switch. I'll plug in machines and be working, you know, imaging one machine, doing this, kind of like three or four machines sitting here, you know, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Corey, do you have anything else you want to bring tonight?
No, I think that's it, man. I don't think I have anything else. You have some emails or we read it for any comments or any help with anything with emails or anything, we can go through that if you want.
Well, I got a couple things I want to bring up. I got one email, but it has no words to it. It's just a picture, so we'll save that for just a minute. First off, you mentioned earlier Fab's Auto Backup. There's actually a special running through Podnuts. If you go to podnuts.com/fabs, you can get 25% off. And there's just a new update with that. It's for AB3 and AB Auto Backup 4 Tech. 25% off for everyone. No coupon needed. If you want to spread the word, just go to podnuts.com/fab. Fabs, I'm sorry. And then also over at ACRBO, Dan's got the website totally redone. It's awesome. And also, if you wanted to check it out, there's a new magazine that is all about computer repair stuff. And I don't know if you guys have ever like looked at a magazine a long time ago when they used to have them, like PC Mag went off of the print and went to digital, but you had to download a whole, you know, program just to look at pictures and stuff, and like that was kind of, yeah, I don't know, I didn't like it. But this just runs, you know, this magazine looks just like a magazine. You scroll through it page by page, article by article, and you don't have to install nothing. It just looks awesome. So check that out too, over at the Association of Computer Repair Business Owners website. And you can find, there should be a link on there for the magazine.
Hey, Eric, this is Steve. If you don't mind chiming in. Hey, how are you guys doing, by the way?
We're doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Fine. no, I've been listening. Just wanted to say, Dan's magazine, it actually is. You could get it online, but there actually is a paper version of exactly what you see online. So if you like paper and, you know, I think it's coming full circle where people are starting to miss paper. This magazine is actually printed, so I think that's quite an achievement, and it's pretty cool. So you could either get it online or printed. I believe Dan's in the chat, and I'm sure he'll verify. But yeah, this is actually a paper magazine.
Well, it definitely looks like it when you're online checking it out. It looks just like it should be a paper magazine. It's really well laid out. It looks like it's hard to believe that that's the first issue. It looks like something's been running for a long time.
Yeah, it looks great. You did a good job over there. Cool.
Then if you want to bring up the picture.
Did you get a chance to see this picture yet yourself?
Yeah, I did. So this came in from
Aaron.
From Aaron. And what it is it's a picture It says, my colleague wondered what was rattling around inside this old router. He opened it up, and there's a beehive. There's probably 200 bees just sitting in there. And I can't tell. I don't know if they're dead or alive. I don't know if they were rattling on their own or if you shook it and it rattled. But they're, you know, they're pretty fresh looking. So they may have been alive at that time.
I don't know. They probably would have been flying out. I think they're dead. But there's, where, but there's a lot of them.
What would they? I don't even see. How do you fly in and out of a router?
I have no idea.
Maybe the fan? I guess maybe if you walk in between the blades of the fan on the side.
I guess so.
I don't know.
That's a good question.
And maybe they, I don't know if they like the heat, if they were actually going in and out while it was running, or if this was one that was just sitting around somewhere and they decided to take up residence.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell.
There's exactly. Probably 100 of them there, if you look, maybe more.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot of bees to have in one router.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Cool. All right, Eric, I'll turn it back over to you. You could wrap it up the show, and then we'll do some Android App Addicts.
Okay, sounds good. Hey, so... Corey, do you have like a Google Plus account or anybody wants to get a hold of you? Do you ask you more questions about maybe follow up on stuff that they heard? Do you have any way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, you could either get a hold of me on Twitter at @PORTCOREY or via email CoreyTK@gmail.com.
Cool.
And I'll make up some show notes. I'll make up some show notes in the next day or so and put them up in the forums or send them to Steve or do both.
That's not necessary. We have somebody who does show notes. And
oh, you do?
His name is John, and he's the awesomest dude in the world. Well, actually, everybody who does show notes is awesome. And, yeah, he listens to the show and does the notes, so no need, man.
Oh, okay. Hey, great.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. You this was a great show, and in my opinion, you know, I'm just on this side, but man, you brought up so many some good ideas for us computer repair technicians. Great show, man. Thanks for all your knowledge.
No problem, and I'm glad to be on. And Eric and Steve, anytime. You know, it's like I said, anytime. I can't use that schedule on your page, Steve. So anytime you want me to, you know, be on or, you know, fill in or something, just shoot me an email, and I'm usually around. So
definitely,
I had a great time.
Love to have you back on.
When you guys do the roundtables, if you get that started again too, I'd love to join that and, you know, shoot the breeze with you guys with various tech topics.
Yeah, I can see one of those coming up pretty soon. I think it's due.
I agree.
So, well, I want to thank everybody else tonight for listening to Podnuts Daily. I hope you guys learned as much as I did from this show, and I know I've got my homework to do. Getting some stuff done that that Corey brought up tonight that I've really been, I guess, slacking on. Yeah.
If you do want to email us, send an email to mail@podnuts.com because we're out of emails. We need emails from you guys. And voicemails are always fun. Yeah, send us a voicemail. 7076-PODNUT will get you the voicemail. And yeah, more input is needed. It's always a fun section when we read the emails and play the voicemail. So are we done?
I think we're done. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Podnuts Daily, episode number 340.
See you guys. Music for Podnuts Daily brought to you by Evan King at purevolume.com/Evan King.